The Interview, read by Kate Binchy.
She was the youngest and the pet. Probably she'd have been the pet anyway, even if she hadn't been deaf. But once they realized that she would never hear properly, the boys became fiercely protective of Bessie, their only sister, the little toddler with the curls in her eyes. They got used to pushing her hair back so that she could see their faces as they talked. It became second nature to them to position Bessie with her back to the light. They spoke clearly so that she could lip-read. They didn't play-act or pull funny faces to confuse her. And they had all developed this semi-automatic habit of touching her lightly on the arm when anyone addressed a question to her so that she would look up and pay attention. They were tough boys, the Ryan lads. You didn't cross them lightly, not if you wanted a peaceful life. They more or less ran things at school. All three of them in their different worlds, Kenny Ryan, who got fellows into pool halls long before they were old enough, through some kind of system of tidying them up and keeping their mouths shut. And there was Frank Ryan, who was Mr. Football, and Lar, who played with a group. And nobody outside the door of number 46 Wattle Street would have known that the three tough Ryan boys were like pussycats when it came to looking after their little sister.
"You're making too much noise," she'd say to Lar.
"You can't hear whether we are or not," Lar was spirited.
"No, but I can see Mam and Dad put their hands over their ears."
Bessie missed nothing. Bessie would warn Frank that it was the mud being walked into the house that annoyed their parents, not the fact that he played football. And she could tell Kenny that they didn't worry about the billiards or snooker. It was just the thought of the kids drinking up there that caused the fuss. By the time she was 7, Bessie Ryan ran the house. There was greater peace in number 46 than in many another house in Wattle Street. But Bessie's mother and father worried. They never talked about it in front of her, since they knew she was aware of every nuance and glance that went between them. Sometimes she'd ask them,
"Are you talking about me?"
And she would touch her ears and her lips, as if she knew they thought it a problem. They were quick to lie and assure her that they weren't. And then it seemed better to let her in on it. She'd guess anyway. There were so many things they worried about. They worried when they took her to the sea. She couldn't hear the shouts of the lifeguard. They felt sad when they saw her watching the pop stars that the other 7-year-olds would sing along with. Bessie would never hear the music.
"I can know the words," she said once to reassure them.
Mary Ryan knew that if there was to be a good life for her beautiful daughter, it couldn't be lived out in Wattle Street. At school they would be kind to her, the teachers would do their best, but there was nobody to teach a deaf child. There would be none of the specialized skills she needed. Bessie would grow up indulged and protected at home and at school, sitting in a classroom where much would pass her by. She might learn keyboard skills, but would there be anyone who could make her mind leap and soar the way it deserved to? Mary Ryan spoke of it when the bedroom door was closed behind them. "We have to give her the best chance there is," she said over and over, persuading herself as well as Timmy. Her husband knew his role. He had to put up the arguments against.
"It's too early to be thinking about it. She's only 7 and a bit,"
that was one ploy.
"They take them from 7.
That was the answer. They both knew it.
"If we want her to live in the real world with deaf people and hearing people, then why should we send her out of the real world?"
He was hopeful, but not very. They both knew why. This was one of the best schools that anyone had ever heard of. People from everywhere tried to get in. It was 100 miles away. The principal was a magic kind of woman. She assumed that there was nothing a deaf girl couldn't do. Her past pupils were all over the world, unaffected by their lack of hearing, confident and happy.
"We would never be able to afford the fees."
Timmy said this often, even though he knew that Mary would say the fees were not relevant. If a child was bright and could benefit from the school, the fees were found. There were only 2 real arguments, and Timmy always left those to the end.
We'd miss her terribly. It's miles away.
But that would be pure selfishness if we put that before doing the best for her, Mary replied. And then the crunch one.
Would she get in?
That was the one they didn't know the answer to. Perhaps Bessie Ryan, with the intelligent eyes and the ready understanding, was not as bright as they thought. Maybe they found her super intelligent because she was so adored. The beautiful child. Perhaps when she went off to the school, the place with the rolling green fields where the girls learned every sport, she wouldn't seem bright by comparison. Something in Mary and Timmy Ryan didn't want to believe that either, even though it was the perfect excuse if they didn't want to lose her. Bessie must triumph. That was a higher law than anything. So they stopped talking behind closed doors. They took her into their confidence. She didn't cry or cling or refuse to go. She regarded it as a competition.
It'd be nice for you too, as you're getting old and grey, she said consolingly to her parents.
That won't be for some time yet, Mary Ryan bridled.
But you are old. You're in your 40s, Bessie said. You'd be worried in case you dropped dead from age, and what had happened to me when you're dead and gone.
Mary Ryan knew that it was better to go along with her daughter's wilder attitudes to things. Yes, well, of course, that's a point, but your brothers would always look after you.
They'll probably marry awful mad people like themselves, Bessie said after some thought. No, I'd say you're right. The best thing is to try to get me into this school place. I can come home some weekends, can't I?
So now it was all in the open. Bessie Ryan was going to get into this school, which would train her for a better life. They made inquiries. It would involve an interview. The girls were accepted or rejected on a personal meeting with Wynne. Her name was Sister Winifred. She had been a nun in a community once, but now she didn't wear the habit of a religious order. No one was quite sure whether she was still a nun or not. She had the burning enthusiasm that some would associate with being part of a religious order. She was single and lived in almost monastic simplicity. Yet she drove a sports car and fraternized with politicians and captains of industry in order to raise funding for her work. She had penetrating eyes. People said she looked as if she could see straight into their souls. Mary and Timmy Ryan went to see her first on their own. Wynne liked that. She wanted to hear directly about the family background without having the child present. Sometimes she learned enough about the child from the talk with parents to decide whether or not there would be a vacancy. But she always saw the little deaf girl, whoever she was. She would give advice and she would make suggestions. She never apologized for not being able to take every single applicant in. Wynne was a realist. She knew that only so much could be done, not any more. Wynne liked the Ryans. They told her, without any sense of vanity, of the child's beauty and how her face lit up when she understood things. Wynne had seen this many times in deaf children, but she didn't feel it necessary to spoil Timmy and Mary Ryan's delight in their little girl. They told how Bessie could name every bird that landed on the bird table, and how they played draughts every night and wished there was someone who could teach her chess. That's very bright for a child not yet 8, isn't it, Sister Wynne? Mary Ryan had her knuckles clenched in hope for her daughter. Wynne remained calm. Yes, of course it is. But we'll wait and see, shall we? Let's see how Bessie gets on when she comes here. The boys didn't want Bessie to go.
And who'll stand up for me to Mam?
Frank asked.
I tell you, it's a matter of not bringing in a load of mud.
Bessie was amazed he couldn't see it.
We'll forget you. You'll forget us.
Kenny was so gloomy about it all.
Not if you come home from the pool hall. I'll be home a lot of weekends.
They knew she wanted it now, so they tried to help her for the test.
You'll probably be asked about the pop groups and chart toppers, Lar said, and gave her long lessons for such contingencies.
They might ask you about the league.
Frank had all the details. On the morning of the interview, they were all very nervous. It won't matter if you don't get in, Kenny said. There'll always be a job for you up in the pool hall after they're dead and gone. He indicated his parents with a nod of his head.
She'll be fine, said her father.
A school that won't take Bessie isn't a real school, said Mary Ryan. The interview seemed to be going very well. Wynne gave her a lot of tests. She started speaking with her back to the child and then continued the conversation face to face.
I'm sorry. I missed what you said when I couldn't see your face, Bessie said.
There was a nod of approval. Mary clutched her husband's hand. Bessie was doing her stuff. She was showing how an education like this would never be wasted on her. They walked the grounds of the school. Bessie asked interested questions about the hockey pitch and netball courts.
I know a lot about soccer, she confided to Wynne. You know, when to take a corner and when it's a free kick. I learnt it just in case.
Her voice trailed away as if she had seen the futility of it. But Wynne seemed to be nodding in approval. They went to the room with the loose reverberating floorboards where the girls learned to dance by feeling the rhythm. Then they all came back to Wynne's study. This was a simple intelligence test. It was a matter of arithmetic, subtraction and division on little cards well within her grasp. And something almost too simple, identifying objects. Wynne looked at her as Bessie clearly acknowledged the drawing with the floppy ears and the round tail was a rabbit, and the one with the long tail and the whiskers was a cat. She did a house, a boat, and an aeroplane. Mary and Timmy Ryan sat there, sides touching. Timmy wondered what the house would be like without his daughter. He knew he must be strong and delighted for her success. She, without hearing, would achieve more than any of her brothers who could hear the grass grow. They saw her pause over a drawing. It was a slice of cheese, a triangular piece, as obvious as anything. 4 years ago, when she was only 3 and a bit, she could have recognized cheese. Bessie was turning the card upside down. She was looking at it, puzzled. Wynne told her, "Take your time." The bright face was screwed up in a struggle to understand. She held the card at every angle, but still she could make neither head nor tail of it. No idea at all. Wynne sounded puzzled too.
Please, God, may she say it. May she say the word cheese, Mary prayed. It can't matter to you, God, much, but it matters to us all and to Bessie. Let her know it's cheese.
Tim's nails were in his palms.
Perhaps this was meant to happen. Maybe she was meant to stay at home with them.
But Bessie's face was red with exertion. She looked from one to the other. Wynne's face was impassive. Her mother's staring, trying not to hint the word, not to mouth it to her as a cheat.
I don't know. I really don't know, I'm afraid.
She shook her golden curls sadly. She knew she was letting them down. No idea at all, Bessie. You've done so well on all the others. Wynne wasn't pressuring her, but trying to keep it open all the same.
No.
Have a guess. Often guesses work. Bessie looked long and hard. The lines were so simple, it was so hard to tell. There were no hints in the picture. Well, the woman had told her to guess. She might as well guess. It could be right, and if not, well, she was out anyway.
Would it be carefully?
Bessie was very bright, but she didn't understand why 3 pairs of eyes filled with tears. She knew many brands of cheese, and assumed she was meant to pick the right one. And she looked around from one to the other, and knew that she was in to the school. Hadn't she been lucky to think of the right cheese? There had been so many to choose from.